Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thugging like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
Yo, yo, check this out. This is your girl, Cola Boke, and I'm chilling with my boys right here on Off the Cuff Radio. We off the cuff right now. You big?
Bet.
What's up? It's your boy, Lil Yapa, UNLV, ragging up from the river, cooling with my homies and my family at Off the Cuff Radio. Y'all be sure to tune in on Fridays and get the latest scoop and find out what's happening. You wait me?
Tiffany Levine.
And it's Queen Crazy, your girl's favorite bartender.
And we're from
Sex on the Rocks Podcast.
Alright, you're now tuning in to Off the Cuff Radio.
Yeah, because they keep representing that world hip hop. Well, much love.
Alright.
Giving a shout out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey y'all, this is Stacey Lachey giving a shout out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio.
What's shaking, y'all? This is the Grand, one half of Lost Cause and one third of that Drive Time thing. Sending my love to the homies over at Off the Cuff Radio. Tune in every Friday night for some real deal hip hop conversation. These dudes are the connoisseurs of this thing. You already know what it is. BX stand up, Hud City was shaking. Peace.
Yo, this is Joe Fresh the Dime, and y'all tuned in to the most raw, uncut show on radio, the Guillotine Team, Off the Cuff, and yo, Eric Sandman, off of these clowns.
And if you from the beach, chase the slave, sugar. And if you from the cherry, to be sugar. And if you from the
man, here we are, star, Porta Sarsaparilla. I'm the Donizetti on the Van Wyck Express. We got the Emporio and the Vino just for the keeper. Yes, he be the diva. Yes, I be the sweeter. So give me sugar, sugar, sugar. And we can get real geeky. The seventh heaven cloud is for my koofy and our cheeky. So you see me on the upper, but it's always the lower. We make it Hollywood, cause Diamond Crooks is taking over. And
yes, yes, you to the beat and scored like 10 on my IQ test. They fly with the vibe, so I'm still gonna get fresh. I rock to the east, I flow to the west. This Max Julian, number one draft pick. A finger to the rest, here we go for the next. It's like that, super fat, catch a heart attack. The smoke that you be doing with the black nostalgia.
So if you're fun to be acting that sugar,
come on.
And if you're fun to be chasing blaze,
sugar, come on.
And if you're fun to cherry, to be sugar,
come on.
And if you're fun to NY, block,
sugar, come on.
If you're fun to be acting that sugar,
come on.
And if you're fun to DA, blaze,
sugar, come on.
And if you're fun to cherry and be
sugar.
Come on. And
this is
from the
NY, come on. No, not cheap. I know it can't be. Hands so sweet, how sweet can they be? I rock around the clock, then I run up on your block. I give a cat a smack to the rhythm tick tock. But who he? You know it only be the Sunny G.
And who that?
The kin of arrow thing, GT Sway. I ride up on the wave and pursue the gay blade. I see my dad can beat her like his soul something, bruh.
Yo, she called me 48. Yeah. She had the Oregano stash in the Hathaway. The Nobi Hipsy out of City Barry. Ricardo hype, and now we got the buzz flashing crazy f***ing lights. The diamond life is right, but we can get this lotto, so give Ilo and the blammer. We'll meet them in Aruba, get the goods down in Savannah. You know it can't be them, so yo, it got to be the lower. We make it Hollywood, cause Diamond Crooks is taking over.
It's like fun to be acting that sugar,
come on.
And if you're fun to be chasing flakes, sugar,
come on.
And if you're fun to Terry, you be sugar,
come on.
And if you're fun to NY, you fly,
sugar, come on.
If you're fun to be acting that sugar,
come on.
If you're from the LA, you flake, sugar.
Come on.
And if you're from the Cherry DC, sugar,
come on.
And if you're from the NY, you fly, sugar,
come on.
One's for the money, two is for the Ebenezer. Three's the 60 chats for all they masters and they visas. Then we do it on our leisure. I keep away, we teaser. I used to rock a bubble goose while trying to the fever. Now we in the Estee Lauder and Nina Richie Saga. The Viking from Cremona with tequila for my campus. I said it once before and I'm saying it all over. We make it Hollywood, designer cooks is taking over.
No. Cash from BX on the one and the two. We dipping on the booze with the little bigly shoe. Somebody pulled a heist, but they just don't know who. I wonder how we do, heist the Jews, how we do. I'm in an every line with a little bit of ooh. I do sling my things, but I practice gun fool. Now this here be the end, so we will be singing you.
Sugar, come on, sugar, come on.
So if you from the BX, connect,
sugar, come on.
And if you from the BX, chase the slate,
sugar, come on.
And if you from the Cherry to be,
sugar, come on.
And if you from the NY, it fly,
sugar, come on.
If you from the BX, connect,
sugar, come on.
And if you from the BX, slate,
sugar, come on.
If you from the Cherry XC,
It's addictive when you know the world is screaming your name.
Ah, Chiba the movie.
Chiba Soul Cinema, Kochi Stroll when I'm chewing on Splinter Split. Retro wallpaper to nifty 50s, flick 'em like Santa, heavy money on the wood.
Get cozy and Canadian, cocaine interior, with a black Colombian koala from Savannah. Magazine covers and cameras hover among us, roll out the red stardust, star plus, starstruck.
Black Hollywood mirrors, black Halloween, black catty mean, Blackenstein making horror scene, swatting super flies when I see them, they eyes on my black enterprise, enterprise.
Living in Black Hollywood, and it's feeling so good in Black Hollywood. Yes, dreams come true in Black Hollywood. This can happen to you when you're in Black. Living in Black Hollywood, and it's feeling so good in Black Hollywood. Yes, dreams come true in Black Hollywood. This can happen to you. Smell, laugh, toast, bubble. Break that black rimmer with feather, and they gon' love you. Tommy Heat in the denim, off the lapel if I snub you. If it's high collar crime, they can't touch you. Muscle,
Mac. It must be the kid, drinking that old nutcracker fantasy, a dig, dig it. Punker than punk rock, hipper than hippies, kissing from my hips to her lips is a gift.
Whatever you want, you can have it. Black magic is new enterprise, we all unified. Weak links is getting minimized. All we see is the skies and the moons beyond. This Black Hollywood, the Cotton Club parade, we gone.
Have breakfast at Tiffany's, from breaking Tiffany fashion, demon sea to Black Hollywood. Cruising with horsepower, electric horsemen, Monte Carlo doors and suicide, darling.
Black. Living in Black Hollywood, and it's feeling so good in Black Hollywood.
Yes, yes,
dreams come true in Black Hollywood. This can happen to you when you're in
Black.
Living in Black Hollywood, and it's feeling so good in Black Hollywood.
Yes, yes,
dreams come true in Black Hollywood. This can happen to you when you're in
Black.
Living in Black Hollywood, and it's feeling so good in Black Hollywood.
Yes, yes,
dreams come true in Black Hollywood. This can happen to you when you're in
Black.
Living in Black Hollywood, and it's feeling so good in Black Hollywood.
Yes, yes,
dreams come true in Black Hollywood. This can happen to you.
Now locked and loaded at episode 326 at Off the Cuff Radio. I am your host of the evening, King Eric the Great, alongside my co-host T-Max with the Facts, and you are now tuned in to Off the Cuff Radio, y'all, sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment, sponsored by Jesse's Boutiques, Core Financial, Dirty Basement Radio. Let's get it. We got my man T-Max right here. Special
what do,
Thursday
what do,
Night
what
Madness.
What it do, what it do, OTC, Thursday Night Thunder, the place to be. We here, we here.
Yes, sir, we Bob. And we had to do this for a good reason because this is a special show lined up. This guest
yep.
right here, a heavy part of the 90s scene when it came to brothers coming in the game spitting that hot fire. Very impactful and influential group. My man's mouthpiece is slicker than the hairpiece of El DeBarge, dog. That's how his, that's how sick his lyricism is. So without further ado, let's bring my man, Sonny Chiba from Camp Low, y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah, what up, Jack?
What's good, brother?
What it is, you can hear me?
Yeah,
yes,
we
sir.
Can hear you. We can hear you.
Cool. Yeah, I'm
definitely
here.
Man.
What's up?
Definitely, man.
Yeah,
great
yeah,
to have
you. Yeah,
give you
the fly introduction, man.
Nah, that hairpiece part was crazy, but yeah, the bars that was some funny right there, B.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm cool.
Yeah,
so what's
man.
Good with you, man?
I mean, same old, pretty much. COVID, that's pretty much it. You know what I mean? So
definitely.
That's about it. But
definitely,
you know, it'd be some new art coming out, but you know what I mean, don't wanna drop it right now. You know what I'm saying? The stuff that's out right now is the 80 blocks with Pete. that's out right now.
Okay. Well, look, man, it's great to have you. Definitely, it's great to have you on the show, man. And like King said, you know, for what, you know, y'all did, man, you know, of course, with y'all debut Uptown Saturday Night, man. I mean, that was that. I mean, when we look at that era of, you know, the 1995 and 96 when y'all dropped 97 era, you know, I mean, you had the Roots, Outkast, you know, Wu-Tang and y'all. But to me, just rather, to me, the root, y'all fell right into that what could be, I guess, can, you know, be defined as that, you know, kind of that neo-soul type of hip-hop in terms of what y'all were doing, especially bringing back those nostalgic vibes on it, man. I mean, y'all really, really, really brought some color to the culture to make it even more vibrant and diverse in the game. I mean, tell us about... Definitely, man, definitely. So tell us about how you and Geechee Sway got together and how y'all started off.
Well, it was pretty much your man was playing me his music or whatever. And then I wasn't rhyming at the time. So,
okay.
Got to go around the corner and, you know, like, just play around on the table, bang on the table. Start rhyming or whatever, so your man like, yo, big. I said, what's good? He said, yeah, you want to do this rhyming shit, big? Oh, hold on. I curse? My fault. But,
no, you
can.
Look,
like,
it's
yeah.
off the cuff, man. You can
cuff,
do that.
You good, man.
All right,
solid.
Go ahead.
So he was like, yo, you know what I mean? I'm introduced to Skinny Woo Woo. So, cat said, like my voice or whatever. And then from that point on, we started making music, and that's how it started.
Now, Sonny, for a lot of people that don't know about Ski, and I got to tell our listeners this because, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the Ski he's talking about is not about the Alpine slopes, although the man was just as cold as those. Ski is one of the people who started off working with Jay-Z. And then Dame Dash. Now, originally he had a group called Original Flavor. And if you go back on their second album, Beyond Flavor, released in 1994, there was a track called Can I Get Open, which had Jay-Z featured on there. And of course, Ski has gone on to do work on Reasonable Doubt. Of course, he's done stuff with, you know, Currency and so many other artists, which goes further. Ski Beats.
Right.
I mean, wow, man. I mean, how does that? I mean, wow. I mean, that's like. I mean, did y'all know that y'all were the Burgundy? Did all of y'all know that y'all were going to end up being legends like y'all were?
appreciate that, but nah, coming in, you know what I'm saying? Didn't really have that on the mind. It was just more coming with some different art. That was the main thing, like, come with something different. Because cats ain't really want to copy nothing, you know what I mean? And we all
right.
be in the studio at times, getting us in. He'll hold a rock, and we'll rock, you know what I'm saying, at times. So it was just one of those type of little clubhouse type, rhyme type situations. And
right.
It all worked out, but we wasn't thinking like that. I mean, at least we wasn't. You know what I'm saying? Dane was saying that Hov was the illest dude on the planet Earth at the time. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, yeah.
But one thing about it, when y'all
I hope I ain't
video,
losing nobody with the slang, man.
Oh, no, you're good,
go,
man.
Go.
It's all
go.
Soaked
look,
up, man.
Man, look, we are bathed in all type of soliloquies, you know, algorithms and all articulate slang doing the thing, man. Look, you know, it's like we well versed in all types of dope nouns and verbs. Yeah, man. So I mean, yeah. So one thing about it, when y'all did the Luchini This Is It video, that was y'all debut video, definitely brought back those 70s vibes of all the fly flicks, you know, Chef, you know, Uptown Saturday Night, Car Wash, all those vibes of it. How did, as you said, y'all trying to bring a different type of color to the art of hip-hop at the time. What made the 70s y'all focal point in terms of what would be the template for what y'all would do musically at that time?
Well, we pulled from the 70s at that time because, you know, Mom Dukes, Pop Dukes had to see, he was sling heavy. And Mom Dukes, she was in the style and fashion. So it was Wade Barnes into the fashion. So, you know, we kind of pulled from that. Plus, you know, watching a whole lot of 70s flicks, listening to 70s music. Everything had to be hip-hop all the time. You know what I mean? Like, Kevin,
right.
At times, working out, work out to, like, you know what I mean? Marvin Gaye and all that. Instead of having to listen to P.E. or whatever. So, it'd be different.
What were some of y'all favorite albums from that era of the 70s? Because the 70s is a very underrated part of appreciation with Don Black music. And I feel that was a renaissance of black music because that's where a lot of that flavor came from.
Yeah.
Well, like I was saying, Marvin, for sure. Who else had a front to back? I say Marvin all the time because that's front to back. I like some Teddy. But as far as, like, the whole album from front to back, I got to think about it. That's a tough one. That's a tough one.
You know what? I'll just go ahead and throw one out there just to do it because I was actually listening to it last week. I got to throw out the Curtis Mayfield Superfly soundtrack and Willie Hutch.
Yeah. Yeah, the Mac.
Right. That Hutch was heavy. Yeah, and of course, Curtis May. But, yeah. Cause that was a tough one. Cause there's a bunch of them to me. I think that's a good era. I ain't know that it was slept on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, cause you know we live in that time where a lot of people feel it's just like they think that fly music started in the 90s, just like with hip hop. They think it started in the 90s, but got to trace back to the history of time where the 70s birthed a lot of those styles, even a lot of the favorite MCs. So. It's great that you guys, y'all came in and y'all took a different lane because everybody in the 90s were trying to be thugged out, trying to be tough, trying to be the toughest dandada. Y'all came in with the extra flavor.
I ain't want to get caught up in that copycat crime. You know what I mean? I don't want to walk down the block with the hoodie and the army jacket on with the 20 belows all day. You know what I mean? So...
Yeah.
I don't want nobody running up on me, you know what I'm saying? Like, what? But, everybody else was doing that. So, that wasn't part of the game.
And you know one thing, Sonny, I think more than anything when you're looking at that whole era, like King was saying, when you're looking at Renaissance, because you're looking at, you know, the 70s, really when hip-hop started coming to prominence. If you even go back to the late 50s, early 60s with James Brown, you could even say that's when, you know, rap started in terms of his ad-libs and his rhythms, of course, with the JBs, you know, which would lay the sonic foundation. Of course, Gil Scott-Heron and the Last Poets would come, later on with the Revolution
right.
Will Not Be Televised. And then, of course, 78, you know, Rapper's Delight, Sugar Hill Gang, which was the first, you know, rap record to really break out. I mean, but even all in the intern, you know, you had, like King said, you know, you had Marvin Gaye, you know, you had Willie Hutch, you had Earth, Wind & Fire, you had the Commodores. I mean, you had Lakeside. That era in terms of, you know, that those Sunflower vibes, you know, a Mahogany Magnificent, you know, colored on melanin music, man, was some type of magnificent, you know, fly, man, you know, and really a lot. I mean, we think about it today, you know, all the samples, they were sampled from those, like, of course, you know, Celebration on the Streets is Watching soundtrack that was sampled. I think that was off the Commodore's 5 album, Celebrate, you know,
cool.
I mean, you know, just so many. I mean, when you think about American Pimp, you know, shout out to the Hughes Brothers, man. I mean, that whole soundtrack was crazy. George Duke, you know, Reach For It, you know, Marvin, you know, After the Dance, You know, I mean, it's just, it was just colored ice cold on that cool, man.
So many styles. It was like Bumble.
Yeah. So, well, you said you didn't start out, rhyming. How long did it really take you to get your pen game sharp to where you was like, okay, you know, we can do this?
I think it took about a year and some change.
Okay.
To where I started doing a, you know what I mean, a So, initially it was like, it was different when I first started, then I finally got into my swing of things, like, about a year and some change.
Okay.
And getting into the rhyming, like, what were your MC influences?
Oh, well, as far as I'm concerned, as far as I go, Bijou had to tell you something different, but as far as I go, is it was Method, although I don't sound like Method, and it was Derrick X, and I don't sound like Derrick X either. Sadat. So, you know,
Wu-Tang,
Sadat didn't have to rhyme all the time. Yeah. You don't have to rhyme all the time. You know what I mean? Like, you just had a unique style. So did Method. So, those are kind of the influences.
Definitely, man. So, take us through that process of recording. What, in terms of the musical direction y'all were going? Because, definitely, you know, like you said, it was definitely something different y'all wanted to do. What was those writing sessions like in terms of just the type of flavor y'all wanted to bring? Because, you know, going into like that mid-90s era, I mean, you know, there was, it was such a, it was just such a, I mean, it's just indescribable. I mean, we look at all the music, you know, that came out. I mean, you know, Eric Benet, I mean, Erykah Badu, you know, I mean, it was just.
That was a cold.
It was just.
That was a cold.
Yeah.
We dropped the same time by Do Drop.
Okay.
It was in 94, 96.
That was 97.
97. I think, yeah, 97. Because I think, because On and On debuted, I believe, in the spring, in the late summer. Fall of 96, and then Baduism dropped, I believe, I want to say January or February of 97, I believe, the actual album, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I want to say it may have been January 26, 1997 that that album dropped, I want to say. I could be wrong, but I know it was released in 97. So yeah, man, but I mean, y'all were just right up in the mix of... just tell us what that energy felt like at the time with hip hop in terms of just how, I mean, because it just, I mean, we think about it. I mean, Source Magazine was popping, you know, this other great publication called Double XL will come later that year. You know, I mean, you know, it was just, I mean, Rap City, you know, was still both. I mean, what was that whole, I mean, it was just, what was that feeling like during that time making music, just in terms of what it felt like to be involved in hip hop and the scene at that time? You know, Bone Thugs had dropped their album. What was it like during that time? Yeah,
it was a smorgasbord. When I, to be honest with you, it kind of happened so quick to where, you know, didn't really ingest it the way, you know what I'm saying? Because it wasn't a whole, like, years and years of riding up. You know what I mean? So, I just felt, everything felt fresh. You know what I'm saying? Traveling overseas, you know what I'm saying? You could put all the garments you ever thought about rocking, you could rock. You know what I mean? Being that cats come from the ghetto, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
It was just all that, yeah. So it was just all the above, like everything. Like the stage felt like it was like the extra high, like you get from being on stage. marijuana drinks can match it. If that makes any sense. So that's how I felt.
Hey, you know what definitely made you guys original? Because I remember when I first heard of you guys when the Wuchini video dropped. I mean, the way y'all rhyme structure was, the way y'all video, y'all had the old school cinematic video, and then y'all dropped the singles, which people don't know at the time, the maxi singles. Like Raekwon dropped the purple tape, y'all dropped the white tape.
Hmm.
Well, that one right
yeah
there.
The white tape.
That one, brother. Yeah.
Now, what was it like in terms of once y'all, when did y'all know that with that album, with the lead single, which ultimately the album will come later, but when did y'all know, what was it like to really get that reception, and when did y'all know, like, y'all were really on to something, when the single really started to catch on? Because, I mean, you know, I mean, it was just like that. I mean, when you hear that sample coming in, you hear that that kick drum snare, and it's like, it
yeah,
just, man, yeah. What was that?
Well,
how y'all feel? Go ahead.
The first part about it was, you know, it was Coolie I. That was the setup.
Mm-hmm.
We went on the road with De La Soul, right? And we cheered for. Matter of fact, I wasn't even like certain people, like certain radio stations and stuff like that, would never let them play them cheating.
Mm.
I ain't want nobody to catch on. Like, nah, baby. Nah. And then for the other people who did hear it, they thought it was Commodores.
Oh, wow. So, I mean,
yeah,
but I mean, y'all definitely had something that was like, you know, look, to our ears when we first heard it, we loved it when we first heard it. And we was young when that joint dropped. You know, so it was like we were like, wow, this is just something that brings back the element of them seeing. So what, like you said, when it was a high, you know, doing the shows, what was it like going out there for the first time and performing it and like people rapping the words to it and just like getting excited, you know, when y'all, you know, when y'all drop it for that?
Well, I mean, the time that I really remember that really stuck out is when we hit Japan. And the chicks was all dressed in 70s wears, man, with afros and all that.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah, they came out on some 70s walk. So I was like, what? So, you know, that was surprising to me at the time.
Look, shout out to our Asian brothers and sisters in hip-hop.
Y'all renovating the culture, man.
Yeah,
shout out
to our Asian brothers. Yeah, I mean, you got to remember the East, the Far East gave us all them dope ass karate flicks of the 60s and 70s and 80s. So, yeah, man.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
they was on.
Yeah, and then the fact that my name's Sonny Chiba.
Uh-huh, after the famous.
I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
That's cool. Good luck. You know what I'm saying? But as long as they enjoyed the music, came out and enjoyed themselves, that's all that really much mattered. So, you know, it might have been both coaches shock on both sides.
And real talk, I'm gonna say this. Like, if I find that white tape, I got it somewhere. I'm gonna definitely post it, and I'm gonna send it. I'm gonna see your picture of it. I got it somewhere.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, I put that on the story for sure.
Definitely,
yeah,
I'm going to
definitely tag you on that bad boy. That's a collector's item right there.
That it is.
Hey.
That it is.
Well, if you can find it.
I remember the B-side had Swing.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, Swing was on the B-side.
Okay.
Definitely. With B-side from Digital Planet.
Definitely. So in terms of the music at the time, in terms of just how things were going, what did y'all learn about the business aspect in terms of what it was like during that time?
Oh, the business aspect, you got to take care of your business yourself, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to watch over the business yourself, like fine tune. Because if you don't, then you're going to go through a whole lot of funny, goofy situations.
Definitely. What was it like for y'all during that time in terms of the business aspects, in terms of just, you know, enjoying a hit record, touring, but making sure that everything was taken care of in terms of proper compensation and just, you know, being able to move appropriately?
Well, that's a situation where cats ain't really happy to talk about.
Understood.
Yeah, that ain't. A lot of things could have been done different.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I tell any artist, man, on the move, you know what I mean? Fine tune. Have somebody watch who's watching over you.
Definitely.
Now, another question I wanted to shoot you too, bro, is I was surprised on it was like 2013 where the original joint, I think, of Feeling It when you guys was on there. Now, was that originally you guys' song?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was Steve and Sway on that joint. I wasn't there that day. But Cass had did that originally and then passed it off because we didn't have any singing on the album and wanted to keep it that way. Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. That, I like the way, because I think it was better than Jay's version. You know, I ain't trying to be biased or nothing, but it just that it seemed like more so y'all style, like y'all flavor with that beat.
I mean, he snatched, he flew. That's probably why it sound like that. Yeah, that was Ski Flow that he rocked with.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can listen to him back to back and you see what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know, and it's wild, and this is no shade on Jay, you know, because, of course, you know, because like you said, in retrospect, when you listen to it, you know, there's definitely, you know, in terms of the cadence and the timing, you know, of how Jay, you know, structures his bars, and that is definitely, you know, premised off of that, you know, just kind of like when he was doing Hawaiian Sophie back in the day with Jazzo, you know, he was kind of doing that same staccato style that Jazzo was doing. And that's no shade to Jay, because a lot of times when you're starting out, you're still trying to kind of catch, you know, you're trying to figure out exactly what style works for you. And, you know, depending on who you're around, what you're listening to, it is going to influence you until you're able to really, you know, kind of be able to build, you know, your own construction of, you know, your style. But definitely, but you definitely hear the similarities and whatnot. Pretty much when you listen to hip hop today and from what it was back then with what y'all were doing and other artists, how do you think it has changed in terms of, you know, from getting on to getting signed to how music is produced to how it's marketed and everything?
Well, that's a good question. The way it's marketed now, most of the time, these cats be having their own following. You know what I'm saying? Then they sign to a label. So
right.
It's different than it was once upon a time.
Yeah, the marketing aspect changed because it used to be you had to just give an A&R your demo tape and he'll probably call you the week and see if he'll sign you or not. These guys come in off the gate with 300,000 followers. And all they got to do is cut the check.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, from that end of it too, man, it's like, you know, magazines, you know, were really heavy, you know, and videos were back in the day really heavy. You know, I'm a reading nerd. King will tell you. I have every Source magazine from except for one from 1994. So that means all y'all ads that I for the album, I got those. Double XL, I have every Double XL from 1997 and down. You know, so definitely in terms of how, you know, it was advertised, how important do you think it is still in terms of magazines or just in print media or just in media in general that it is for albums to still be reviewed, to still be able to, you know, kind of have, you know, somebody really checking it out before it really gets distributed to the masses, as opposed to stuff just dropping like every week and it comes so quick, it's like hard to digest all the new releases.
Very. Well, I don't know. It's like, you know, everybody got a computer in their hands, so I'm not really sure, you know, as far as like certain magazines or whatever. And if it's a good topic, you know, I look at it like just having collector's items. Other than that,
mm-hmm.
I don't really deal with that too tough.
Yeah, he built heavily on, you know, but on the conversation about being innovative and, you know, you guys trendsetting. Now, I will say this, and I would go back to a lot of that history. I don't recall any group or anybody even using the Good Times thing until you guys did for
Black
Nostalgia. Nostalgia. Yeah.
I mean,
I tried
to
do the research.
It was based on Ernie Bonds. Because he did the Marvin Gaye I Want You album. And
right.
He did the Good Time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what that was about.
Yeah, because that painting that y'all had up there, like for the art, for the album cover, and then, of course, Marvin's, you know, I Want You album, that's like iconic. You know, of course, that was, I believe, featured in that was actually featured on the show as well. So that's like an iconic piece of black art right there. You know.
Yeah, I had to keep it that way.
Yeah, and for how you all did that video, like King said, was just absolute genius. How did that come together? I mean, I don't think that was CGI. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to put it out there on a limb and say that y'all met, that y'all got the original cast in there. So how did y'all get that done?
Oh, well, I mean, we had to reach out, you know, and make sure they was compensated for the
right.
For the come through. And it was I forget the Damned. Well, they built the set. They built the set.
Oh.
Based
oh,
on
wow.
The show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so y'all
I mean,
this,
we
y'all
ain't go to Cabrini Green. Yeah.
Man. Yeah.
It had
but,
Thelma.
Man, but that's...
Man.
Jeanette. Man. Oh, man. You know, Bernadette Standish,
yeah,
Jeanette Dubois.
Yeah, Kevin,
I mean, Jeanette Dubois, rest in peace, everybody.
Yeah. Had to get some of them up in there to make it official.
Yeah. But that definitely goes down as like one of the all-time great videos, you know, ever to us just in terms of originality because, you know, like King was saying, for what y'all did, y'all really brought back an era that really would lay the foundation for hip-hop and then also one of the iconic shows. Of course, shout-out to Norman Lear, the creator of Good Times. You know, but to have,
yeah.
I mean, but to just have everybody to acknowledge, you know, I mean, you know, we're just talking, you know, everybody, you know, of course, from that show, you know, of course, you know, John Amos, you know, Jimmy Walker, you know, Esther Roll, rest in peace, you know, a young Janet Jackson, you know, who was up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, Bernadette Stanton. I mean, it was just to have everybody up there, man. I mean, that show was like one of the most really accurate portrayals, I believe, of black life. And for y'all to really reach out to them and to do that video, Black Nostalgic, it just fits. Because that is like a nostalgic to the throwbacks of, you know, those good times, you know, in terms of when, like the Wu said, can it be all so simple? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I don't think y'all really get enough appreciation for what y'all did, man, because y'all really, even during the 97, 98 era, man, y'all really gave a history lesson to the youngest, you know, to the young kids at the time who may have not really understood the significance of that program in terms of what
surprising.
It meant to black culture. Yeah.
That's surprising.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Like I mentioned, I ain't recall any rap group or any rapper even sample Good Time until you guys did. And the next thing you know, then I heard, I think it was Ghostface that he did it. Then I heard some other rappers do it, but you guys were the trendsetters.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that. Been noticing that. You know what I'm saying? For sure.
Now, going on with, you know, you guys got projects out with Pete Rock. Now, how did that connection happen? Because that project that y'all dropped with him was fire. The 80 blocks.
Well, right. I appreciate that also. But the 80 blocks, we had did the song first with Styles P. And then he heard it, and then he hopped on it. You know what I mean? And then from that point forth, he started hitting cats with beats or whatever. And we had did a 80 Blocks Part 1, Volume 1, on our own. And then he wanted to be part of Volume 2. So we did that, and then we put it on vinyl recently. And, you know, people, they taking it good. They absorbing it.
And, you know, what makes that 80 side so creative in terms of what y'all do out in the Bronx, man? Because also we got to shout out our boys, you know, Trey Pizzy in Japan representing 80 side too, man. I mean, what is it about the Bronx that just has this? Because, of course, you know, people got to remember too, yesterday, a couple days ago, was hip hop's birthday. And 1520 Sedgwick Avenue, DJ Cool Herc with the mixes. That's where hip hop started, in the Bronx.
Right.
How does that magic just keep going on out there with what y'all keep bringing in terms of really just carrying on tradition?
Well, I will say, just like I was saying earlier, is the not copying nobody.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You know what you're going to get when you come to the boutique. You know what I'm saying? That's what we like to call it. So, yeah, as far as sounding like other people, that can't happen. So that's the tradition we follow.
Definitely. And especially today, man, I mean, because y'all, you know, even our co-host, you know, Sandman, you know, he's from the Bronx as well. Of course, I mean, Fat Joe, you know, Big Pun. You know, I mean, it's just French Montana, you know, today. I mean, y'all just got so, I mean, it's definitely, y'all definitely have y'all own type of style, y'all own swag that really, I think, obviously, y'all birthed hip-hop. So it's just y'all always, but y'all have always found a way to keep it fresh, to keep it innovative, to keep it creative. And it's always, like you said, authentic. You know, nobody really.
That's usually a challenge, man, because it's so easy to bite. It's so easy to copy because people, they see the numbers that the Shenanigans do, and it is easy to be tempted to do that. But to stay in your lane and carve a niche and where a lot of your core audience can still follow you, that's respect right there.
Sometimes it's not so easy, but, you know, sometimes it's not so easy, Jack.
Yeah.
Because they be acting sometimes when you go left with the music, they want you to do the throwback music. And sometimes you may not even feel like doing the throwback music. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's crazy like that sometimes.
And you know what? That's also building off that, brother. I think it's also a case of where people pigeonhole a lot of hip-hop groups and artists. Like, the game got to evolve a little bit. It got to evolve to where you get different sounds.
Right.
And that's when I first heard y'all right. other joint, because I be still following y'all, man, because we always keep tab of what the legends be doing in the game, because you never know what them gems be. Like, the Black Jesus single, I was like, God.
You know we got a video for that? But Sway don't want to drop it.
Why
not?
We got a video for that.
Come yeah. on, man. What's up with Geechee? Why is Geechee being stingy with it, man?
Geechee,
give us the goods, man. Yo, going to have to drop it at some point, you know. But, yeah, we got a video for Black Jesus.
Oh wow!
Unless y'all holding out for a big check, man. We need at least a snippet of something.
A snippet, right?
You know snippet what? Like a piece.
That's funny you say that. Yeah, probably hooking 8 bars and put it out there just so people could see the snippet. But it's the full song, so we'll mm-hmm. see.
Yeah, because that's what draws a lot of the, especially the youngest, because we live in the clickbait snippet era. Like, you give somebody 20 to 30 seconds, they all mad at book. I guess I would call
yeah.
it the
right.
movie trailer era.
Right. That's funny you say that, but that's true.
Definitely. I mean, so it's pretty much... So what was the whole? What was the inspiration behind that song in terms of doing it?
What you mean, Black Jesus?
Black Jesus. How'd that come together in terms of the inspiration for it?
Ski threw that idea up in the
mm-hmm.
air. So we just went on that premise. You know what I'm saying?
Got
but, yeah, because that's why Dancing with Denzel and Zanzibar and all that had to really,
go
all the way back.
Oh, huh? Lord, Zanzibar. I want to say, if I got my geography right, I want to say North Africa, correct?
Yeah, you like Encyclopedia Brown, brother. But
Africa, because you got Algiers, North Africa. I want to say Tunisia as well, going further up, North Africa. Yeah.
I got to throw Madagascar in there also.
Yeah, Madagascar.
At
yeah,
one point.
Matter of fact, going back to World War II, that was in North Africa. That's where Evan Rommel, a.k.a. the Desert Fox for the Germans, that's where he had a lot of his maneuvers in the desert. And that's why they call him the Desert Fox, because he was, like, so adept in terms of making, you know, his strategic maneuvers there. Yeah, man.
That's good, though, man. You know what I'm saying? I'll be watching them, YouTube. I'll be heavy on the YouTube. Not so much as on the reading part, but, yeah, YouTube. I'll be researching everything. Then I find out something else. Then now I got to go to Wikipedia. And all that. I'm kind of like a
yeah.
geek myself.
Yeah.
And that's where you guys
think
a lot of that. That's where a lot of you guys also get the idea for new content with the music.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to feed what feeds you. If that makes any sense. So,
you can't keep watching
the same thing all the time.
No, and I think that's something about how you manage to keep it fresh, because I think in terms of creativity, there's a evolution that brings about a renewed energy. And from that, it brings about new ideas and new creations. And I guess with us being older, and we see what hip-hop is today, and shout out to a lot of the, heads out there, who's still making good music from all over the world,
Right.
And just domestic, because, we're in the United States, shout out to the East Coast, West Coast, down south. But I think in terms of how the music has been marketed, it has changed in terms of how a lot of the labels, like you said earlier, if you have a bunch of followers, then that automatically cements you as being this major act. And it's funny because, you know, as we came up, you know, you as a paid professional, you know, you and Geechee as paid professionals doing what y'all did, and me and King, Sandman, Chinchilla, you know, our co-host, you know, shout out to April too, you know, our silent partner, you know, we all grew up watching it from a perspective of being entertained by the art and appreciating it. And we had an idea of what went on. Like King said, you know, you had your demos to really submit to the labels to, you know, if they liked it or not. And now, you know, a lot of these artists, like you said, they got their own followers. But also, conversely speaking, you know, that leads to some artists who think that because they have a lot of followers, that makes them better than the people that came before them. You know,
sometimes
it
don't translate.
Exactly. Yes, it doesn't translate. It doesn't translate. But it's crazy with social media, though, Sonny, because it's like you're looking at now, I mean, you know, we wouldn't really see the first iteration of social media until 1999 with Black Planet. You know, then, of course, you know, MySpace will come around, you know, 2005. Yeah, AOL dial-up. You know, of course, even with the BET chat rooms back in the day in 97. Facebook's was started in 2004, you know, shout out to Mark Zuckerberg, but they wouldn't become like a public site until around maybe 3-4 years later. So, you know, we were
right.
Still, you know, social media at the time was still in its nascent stages of, you know, really becoming what would be this ginormous, influential, you know, juggernaut.
And it still seems like, too, brother, it still seems, too, that the industry still wasn't really prepared for it.
Right, right.
And they're just now catching up.
Yeah, because if they did catch a drift early, I think they'd have probably put it in a stranglehold, like. So it's good that they didn't.
So how does it feel, you know, with what y'all are able to do now in terms of really being able to have control of your music and how it's distributed and marketed, where you really have a say in the business, in terms of how y'all, you know, handle the affairs with it? How does that feel to have that freedom?
I mean, because you could drop whenever you feel like it, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's always good to have that some form of machine sometime.
Right.
So, but other than that, yeah. Other than that, you know, it's being indies on the independent side. I mean, it works out, though, as long as people are aware of it. As long as they know where to go get it, buy it, check it out, view it, then it's all good.
Yeah.
So when we had many artists on the show, we also talk about independence versus the majors. And you giving that insight about being indie, like, it's not really that simple like people think it is. Like, you know, people be saying, well, he can just go indie. Like, you got to have that base already intact to go that route.
Right. That's a fact. That's true. I mean, but other people be thinking that it's different. Like, somebody I know, your man would just drop stuff on YouTube without even letting anybody know. I'm like, yo, bro, you gotta do it a bit different, bro. Because you're just doing it, it's like you're doing this like a futile move, bro. You giving all that for nothing?
Look, Sonny, not everybody's Beyonce. Beyonce did it twice. She did it twice.
Twice.
Girl, I mean,
yeah.
Shut the net down.
Yeah.
I mean, she's able to do that, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, she had, like you said, though, having that machine behind you, And it's great to get it from someone who's been there and can really, you know, disseminate that wisdom to the masses because, you know, me and King, you know, we talk on the air, we talk off the air about these things. But a lot of artists really have to understand the business aspect of it, you know, because you got to get yourself a name out there, at least at a modest capacity. You know, we've interviewed artists from all over the country and the world. And, you know, it's, you know, but just speaking here in terms of how it is, because the hip hop scene is different in every place. One thing about it is that a lot of artists, like you said, will try to drop a lot of music, but it's like you really have to, this game will humble you. And I think that's what a lot of artists have to understand,
oh, yeah.
You know, when maybe their product doesn't jump right then, because I'm like, you know, like you said, you really have to have a situation where you've got a fan base, you know, you're actually, you may not necessarily be making stupid money doing shows, but you're doing shows in your area where you are sustaining an income. Some do more than others in terms of where their fame is, you know, but it is a grind. And some of, you know, artists will say that, yeah, I'm the hottest rapper in the hood. I'm like, nigga, ain't nobody heard about you from outside your hood. You ain't that hot. You know, it's like,
I don't want to laugh, bro. I don't want to laugh, dude.
It's okay,
but
because we all know I'm
saying.
Right. We know I'm right. We know we right.
Damn,
when
you
we got say
the ego tripping.
Yeah. But a lot of artists have to understand it's like a baby. You know, sometimes that baby has progenia, where they age rapidly, meaning they mature quickly and they are grown before they really are getting there. You know, for all of us is out there, look it up. You know, it's about that condition. And then you have some that it's just a slow development in terms of really, you know, getting that buzz up to where you really have a name. You know, when I look at artists, you know, all over, you know, how they started out, you know, shout out to Uncle Short, you know, out in the Bay. He was, you know, selling tapes out of the trunk of his car, along with E-40. You know, shout out to the modern day entrepreneurs, like, you know, out in L.A., like, you know, G. Perico and So Way Out Entertainment, you know, dropping his product, you know, All Blue, you know, and To the Left, you know, and has a clothing store, and he's been grinding independently, you know, pretty much doing his thing. You know, shout out to Currency,
right,
who's doing his thing down in New Orleans, independent. But Currency was with No Limit and Cash Money before, you know, he stepped out on his own and started Jet Life Recordings. But by then, Currency, you know, when he stepped out in 2007, he had kind of already had his buzz up where he was able to do that on his own. And he's been doing it ever since. But a lot of times artists got to understand that you really have to get that local base behind you. Like Dre told Game, if your hood don't fuck with you, the world won't fuck with you. And it is, but like King said, a lot of artists be ego tripping. They think they more than what they are. And it's like, dude, you know, if you're not traveling outside your hood, Go ahead.
Castle won't even let you tell them nothing either. You be like, yo, bro.
Yeah.
They be like, uh-uh. Like, they know it all. All right.
It ain't what you think.
Yeah.
You know, we also joke about this, too.
But
I would say we joke about this, too. It's like, you
say
know,
that again?
We deal with guys that are hard-headed, and you tell, all right, we're going to drop. And then they flop. Then they see them 6 months to a year later. Now they try to jump on the woke wave. They come out there with a dashiki on and all this stuff. Like, damn.
Oh, man. That's funny.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's funny though.
They had the Black Lives Matter shirt, and I'm like, what's all this? You was throwing up stracks at the club.
Yo, fam, I ain't seen so many pro-black people ever in my whole life. No, not making fun. Not making fun, bro. Not making fun. I'm just saying. I ain't never seen this before, bro. Like, as far as artists are concerned.
Right. You know, and you know, Sonny, I think in terms of the political times we're living in and what we're seeing right now happening in this country and the world, I think for a lot of artists to, you know, step up on a certain level, King will tell you this. I am very adamant about accuracy in academics. And my thing is, I don't expect my favorite rapper to be a voice for social change, because not everybody is comfortable with that change in terms of being that. But well, they want the change, but they're not comfortable being a voice, and I can respect that, because it requires putting yourself out there in a capacity that could mean a lot of sacrifice.
That may not work for you also.
Right, exactly. And the casualty of your career that may suffer in the process. But also, too, the biggest issue I have is with some people who shall remain nameless in the industry, and, you know, who are not musicians, but some of these activists who claim that they're activists, is that they don't have their facts right in terms of what they try to put out there on that woke wave of trying to act like that they are this super pro-black. They're this epitome of, you know, this social changer, and they can't even get their history right to even, they talk about nation building and they don't even have the common sense for concrete to actually even lay a solid foundation, because they hard-headed being blocky.
Then they get the whole science wrong when they come to drop it in. They try to drop it in their verses. It's like, dang, the science ain't even accurate. God.
Well, I mean, I can't really, but. Yeah. I'm going to stay out of that one.
Yeah, man.
Well, we're not.
That's the smoke we had to take for that one. We had to just put that out there because.
Yeah.
We get that a lot for some people that submit music. And I'm like, man, this brother ain't. The beat sound hot. I think this where we go into another topic where people, they focusing less on the bars and they trying to more so rely on the production value. Because. That created a new domino effect where people be like, oh, I could just say whatever, and as long as the beat hot, it's all good.
I mean, that's how it pretty much goes nowadays, so
mm-hmm.
You don't want to be bored. That's pretty much where how it's going, so, but I don't know. A lot of times, cats can't understand nothing I'm saying anyway. So, you know, I'm the wrong guy to speak to about that. But, yeah, the beat do have to be popping. But, it's a CB4, for real.
Oh, man, he took it back.
That's
on
what
that.
It is.
We know what you mean. We know what you're saying.
It's the gusto.
Yeah, man. For those, look, for our listeners, if y'all have never seen CB4, that is one of the great comic movie geniuses. Yes, that is one of the greatest genius movies of comic satire that has ever been produced. Shout out to Chris Rock, Alan Payne, rest in peace to Charlie Murphy. You know, I mean, that movie is still one of the hallmarks of just total just hilarity in terms of, you know, what you said, Sonny, about just how everybody be kind of trying to fake it like they actually know it until they actually get called out on it. You know. But it's wild, man. This is Off the Cuff Radio with King Eric, myself, our co-host of Spirit, Lady Chinchilla, and Ilana Sandman. We on the air live and direct with Sonny Chiba, one half of the legendary dynamic duo, Camp Lo. And we are doing it right now. Call number is
516-531-9596. We are live and direct. But yeah, man, I think I think more than anything though, Sonny, I think we just really we've just been concerned about hip hop, like you said, in terms of where, like King said, in terms of the beat. And this is no shout, this is no shot at all to one of the all time greatest lyricists, MCs ever. So I'm prefacing this comment by saying it now, by putting it out there. We are not bashing, and we are not definitely trying to have the smoke with this dude. But I know with Nas right now that everybody is concerned about this new album that he's got coming with Hit-Boy. Because, of course, Hit-Boy is not what a lot of people would consider Nas' matchup for the type of hip-hop that we are accustomed to Nas fitting. You know, the Kanye album was one thing.
I'm just hearing that.
Yeah. Nas is supposed to be dropping an album with Hit-Boy, from what I understand.
He's dropping a single tonight.
Like King said, he's dropping a single tonight. And there's just been a lot of concerns because we are diehard Nas fans. And a lot of people, some of the criticisms that Nas has had over the years, even though I've never had that criticism of him because I've just enjoyed Nas' lyricism, you know, and his MCing, you know, is that his beat selection was not always the greatest. And I'm really not a guy who listens to albums for beats. If the beats do ride with me, then I'm cool with it, but I'm more into the content. But this is something with Nas
right.
doing this album. You know, Hit-Boy is more associated with a lot of down south acts and more, you know, kind of, you know, pop hip hop. Not saying he's not good at what he does. It's just, it was just out of left field that people are wondering, can Nas really make a hit on, or is he going to strike out with it? I mean, even Kanye West on his craziest days, and we don't agree with all the shit Kanye does, even right now, but we all agree on one thing. When Kanye is focused on beats, that boy's a motherfucking monster, because the Nasir album he did with Kanye a couple years back was not bad. It was different, but it wasn't bad. You know, but this is like a totally
right.
drastic different area for what Nas is going into. How do you feel about artists from that second golden era? Because he's part of that as well as you all are, in terms of where they kind of, you know, decide to step out on an experimentation of expanding on their craft rather than sticking to conventions that people would rather be comfortable with them doing.
It might be drum heavy as far as this joint that I'm thinking about, being that I had to think about it. It might be drum
okay.
heavy. So, you know, you never know. I mean, nobody was mad at BDP.
Mhm.
Yeah, I'm not gonna dismiss it. Yeah.
Maybe
I'm
he
thinking,
might be pulling that out. But as far
yeah,
as like people going out to go see other sounds and stuff like that, I mean, I'm not mad at that at all.
Mm.
You know what
right.
I mean?
Now it's
yeah,
very interesting.
It ain't like he's about to rock over country.
Look, you look like LL did, like LL and Nelly were doing, rapping over, well, Nelly rather, when he was doing his country western rap song, you know, and got killed for it. What was it? Who did he do that song with, King? I think Brad Paisley. Nelly did that track with?
Yeah.
I believe it was Brad Paisley that Nelly did a track with, and it didn't go over well with a lot of public. But what you said, Sonny, kind of piqued my interest because you said it's going to be drum heavy. How did you pretty much, from your academics of sound, what's your inclination in terms of how it might be? Do you think it's going to be sample heavy? You said drum heavy. I mean, what type of style do you think it could possibly be in addition to drum heavy?
I'm sure it's going to be surprising, you know. I would think, but, you know, that's how I'm thinking, because I wouldn't think that cats would team up to make something that they not going to like. So I'm going off
that. I like
that.
I like that. I like the way you put that. They're not going to team up to make something they don't like. So, yeah.
I think it's going to be dope. I mean, they should have Stranger Things happen. I mean, it is 2020. And who would think that Nas will turn out a classic out of Hit Boy? I'm thinking it might be good.
Yeah.
It's been a strange year.
Yeah, we've seen a likely pairings. I mean, we saw the Jackal, rest in peace, and Freeway do an album, and they did one together twice. You know, shout out to Mr. Servon. You know, when we had him on the show, he talked about how him and Pun got together to do From NY to NO. So I mean, we've seen wild collaborations happen. You know, so. This is something that just might be, good for the culture. How do you feel about a lot of the young artists coming today that for some of them may not necessarily, respect or either understand the previous generation that came before them in terms of their significance and their contributions to hip-hop culture and the music, the language, the fashion, and the art form itself?
I mean, I might be going out on a limb with this answer.
Go
but
ahead.
I can't really, I can't wrap my brain around this drill culture. You know
right, in Chicago.
Like, them dudes is wild. Like, wild for real. So I'm like, this ain't the 90s. These dudes is wilding out. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Some wild dudes,
but we can. Go ahead.
But as far as cats not looking back, you know what I'm saying? Reaching back and checking out things and all that. I don't really expect nobody to. I had just seen something earlier today and seen the responses to WAP. You know what I'm saying? And,
right.
Yeah, so, you know, like, I'm not surprised by anything. And I ain't really expecting nobody to hit me with no throwback, like, feel type. You know what I'm saying? And if they are doing it, like, it's like rare. You know what I'm saying? But pretty much all I can say, can't really critique nobody nowadays. It's, like, all over the place. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Cue the Shameless
like bananas and pineapple on pizza.
Right. Cue the Shameless Griselda promotion that we always give those guys. Shout out to Benny Conway and Westside, of course, City Boy, Keisha Plum, the poet villain goddess, you know, Armani Caesar, the whole clique, you know, Rick Hyde, Black, you know, Dark Low. Because Griselda, that movement right now, I think if anything, what they're doing and the crew and the MCs they got with them, they are just bringing it out.
Yeah, they tough.
Yeah, they're bringing it back.
Yeah, they tough.
Yeah, you know, when I heard Raekwon on WWC, you know, CD last year on that opening, when I heard the Chef on that joint, I was like, it's a drop the mic moment. Chef has passed the torch on to those guys, and they've been running with it. King will tell you this. I'm a heavy fan of those guys just for the fact of that nostalgia, as well as he is, of just what they brought back to the game in terms of showing that, you know, a shout out to Beat Butcher, you know, and Derringer, their producers, along with so many, because they work with so many people. You know, they work with Premier as well. They just brought back an essence that feel like when y'all was doing. You know, just that 90s where the skills, the lyrics were imperative. You know,
yeah, that is that.
Were impeccable. Yeah.
They got that down pack. They got that down pack. Yeah.
Yeah. And what you said about the drill, you know, in Chicago, it's a wild scene out there, man. You know, and from where we saw back in the day with Common, you know, when he started out of Chicago, you know, and of course, this little-known summer jam that only people in the know are really going to know you know, M.Dot featuring Shante Savage. It's a summer thing because they were from Chicago, too, and that's the next best hip-hop summer jam next to Fresh Prince's Summertime. But Chicago, man, with that drill scene they've got out there, you know, rest in peace to FBG Duck. Of course, you got Chief Keith, you know, all of them out there, man. 300, Montana,
And the King Von, dude.
Yeah, who else? G Herbo. I mean, they doing it. I mean, they real out there. Lil Durk, you know, they real out there. And you know, that's just, you know, the Chicago way in terms of. But it's also, I tell anybody, when you're listening to certain styles, that's kind of a extension of what goes on. And as you know, unfortunately, we've seen the violence in Chicago that's been going on for so long. That music is, I think, just an extension of the culture there, which is serious. And it's not for, you know, we're not bashing it. You know, I know you're not, and we're not either. It's just, it's, you know, it's just wow. You know, that's their language and how they understand.
This is one of them situations where you don't even want them to be talking about how much they give it up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you want it to not be that. But,
I think in terms of where we see the music go sometimes, when, because obviously, you know, and we just use this as a reference point, not to beat a dead horse. You know, you all were around the time that Biggie and Tupac, you know, within a year of each other, 6 months each other, were both, you know, killed. And in, as long as we've had hip-hop, there have always inevitably been beefs. You know, going back to the days, you know, with LL, you know, going against Kool Moe Dee. Of course, you had Ice Cube and N.W.A. Of course, you had DJ Quick and N.C.8. They were going at it for years. Yeah. You know what he was saying. Of course, you know, KRS versus MC Shan. You know, and those were just lyrical battles, you know. But there was never any threat of violence in Chicago. Whoo, man! It's man.
These guys be going levels with the disrespect. Made me want to stay down.
Yeah.
I never seen nothing
like
this before.
I mean, we saw four. We would hear some of them. We see some of them dudes, and we were like, we are not beefing with Chicago ever.
These guys be like, dang, I'm like, this is dead homies, and this is mom
word,
and kids.
Man.
Like, at least we had rules.
Who does that?
Damn.
You know
what they
say?
Kids and women, kids and women, and dead people off limits back then. In Chicago, it's all city gold.
Yeah,
anything goes. And the cold part is, you ain't even buried yet. They already got a diss record on.
Word.
Yeah, man. But it's real out there. You know, and I think a lot of times, and this goes, I think, beyond Chicago. I think in general, I think this is something that a lot of, you know, young brothers and sisters really got to realize in the game, man. You know, when you go with niggas, you know, because any perceived disrespect, especially in this day and time, the way things are, it's going to be serious. Shout out to OG Bezel from New Orleans, one of the funniest and most entertaining shows we have ever done on this show. And OG Bezel made it very clear, when we ask them about what it means down bottom to speak on somebody dissing them on a song. And he said it straight out, you're going to have to go see that man.
Oh, no negotiations or nothing. It got to be on site. But you know what? It's kind of, have it better in a way with all the technology guys. It's kind of better than just that these guys don't use it. But back in the day, you had no email. You had no no direct message where you could direct message that man to talk it out. If you see him on the club,
right,
you see him at a video shoot, it was on.
Yeah.
Yeah, to talk about it
then
and hope it don't go nowhere.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Especially with all that built up aggression.
Sure.
But
And it was a wolf game back then. It was like a jungle. At least with these guys today, they can talk it out. Like, look, you can shoot a DM. Oh, we squash it. Oh, we cool. We can meet up and play Madden.
Meet up and play Madden. That's funny.
Yeah.
And
they'll
drop it like that in there. Like, all that. Yeah, I'm going to pull up. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to shoot your mom. Then all of a sudden, the label heads behind them tell them, look, y'all got to piece it out. Oh, my bad, bro. We can play Madden. We're shooting the game of Madden. We're going Bow Wow, though. We have a three-way.
That's better than what they're doing.
Yeah,
ain't lying. I don't want this jack to fail on me. So I'll be feeling like I banged it. But it's like storming out here. And right before y'all called, right before I called them, Jack had one out.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
God.
Yeah. Man.
No, I mean, but if you got a dip, you know, we understand.
Yeah,
if you can give us a little bit longer, you know, we love to have you on. But if you got a dip early, you know, we understand. But we'll keep you on as
wanna,
long as, you know. Yeah, but stay on as
I
long
ain't
as
wanted
you
to
can.
Like,
you
I ain't wanted to cut out.
I feel you on that.
No, you good. But yeah, stay on as long as the phone allows you. But yeah, man, but you know it's real because, you know, when you look at it, what was going on during that time in terms of a lot of it, because the Tupac Biggie situation shook a lot of people up because we saw two legends die 6 months within each other. And that woke a lot of people up to how serious this could be. But, I mean, you know, hypothetically say, and we're not saying this happened because it did not. I'm prefacing the comment, this did not happen. But could you imagine a situation like if Wu-Tang and Death Row had gotten into it? Or, I mean, you know, like Dagon, you know, some other, like Scarface, and maybe, like, you know, the Locks had gotten into it. I mean, you know, just during that time, the 90s is like, me and King always talk about it, like, yo, like, that was not the time you wanted to get into it with somebody. Today you don't want to get into it with somebody like that. You know,
I think what there was the difference in the 90s then, those guys still had a mutual respect for each other based off skill level.
Right, right.
These guys here today, they ain't no respect. So they ain't no their skill level just the same. So they don't really respect one another.
Yeah. But that's something where I think a lot of times, you know, artists got to understand, man, you know, there's a certain line between, you know, your actual profession and then your personal life. And if they clash together, it's going to be a problem.
Say that again?
I said that sometimes I think artists have to understand in your personal and professional life, you got to keep them separate. And even if you got a personal issue with somebody, that's not for the public to see. It could damage your profession or even end your shit. You know,
right.
You know, we remember back in the 90s, you know, when Death Row and Bad Boy had that, well, not Bad Boy Records, when they did that New York, New York, and they shot that video in New York, and niggas in New York shot the video trailer. Then I think that's what Death Row realized. It was serious.
Yeah.
You know.
I ain't know that.
They shot a Death Row trailer for the New York video shoot. Niggas was like, let off on it. Aired the trailer out. Nobody got hurt, but they sent a message.
And phone calls were made.
Because
you know they had the rules of regulations, and they had to move like, you know, like mafia, like in a way. But see, today, respect is not there at all. Like, there ain't no talking to these guys. You can't even have a sit down. You be scared to even organize a sit down.
Right.
I mean, we look at I mean, the,
well, I think what is it? But you know, it's also a reflection of where society is currently. Like, it's hot outside and people are angry. You know, the economy is looking bad and there's a lot of uncertainty. So a lot of people are going to what they know best, and that's straight gooning, straight.
But I know every August is always a problem.
Every August.
Yeah. I told my dudes, I say, yo, B, stay up off them streets, brother. What you mean? I said, Sam, you know how it is. Stay off them streets, brother.
Bloody August. That's why they call it Bloody August.
Hmm. But one thing about it, Sonny, what did y'all learn in terms of, you know, what was really like, you know, because you all always had such a real positive vibe in the hip hop that y'all had. You know, what would you tell a lot of these young kids today in terms of just how to maintain, just concentrate on making music and staying away from the distractions of it that could sabotage their career?
I mean, you know, it's better than being outside, messing things up. Take that same energy.
Yeah. You know, and I think, you know, one thing about it, you know, because a lot of times when we look at hip-hop, it's predicated on street culture. You know, this is where it started in terms of, you know, where it all began, because this was an outlet for black and brown people to talk about our lives on the street and what we endure being marginalized from American society. So it's not always going to be pretty when you're looking at the economic disappropriation, you know, lack of opportunity, and just that ghetto angst, you know, uncertainty, you know, and rage that comes from it. And, you know, it is a powerful voice. I think more than anything, I think a lot of times, I love my obscene, explicit shit as much as anybody. But even then, there are certain points where I tell people, you have a right to say what you want to say on wax, but be very careful, you know, what you do say. Like Ice-T said on his second album, Freedom of, you know, I think that was his second album, Freedom of Speech, watch what you say. And, you know, we have people that like to get out there being reckless. We look at 6ix9ine. You know, I mean, 6ix9ine was running around before he got locked up, telling everybody suck his dick, he the best in New York. Got in court, started coughing all types of pleas about what was going on. Got out, talked about he was going to change. Now he's right back to the ratchetness all over again. And, you know, I'm like, okay, yeah. And, you know, although he may have gotten...
I see if Sonny's still there. Sonny, you still there?
Yeah. Hello, Sonny.
Yeah, we may have lost him.
Yeah, that phone may have went out on him. It's all good. He let us know in advance.
Yeah.
It's all good.
But he left us with some good gems, though, man. So
definitely.
We probably about to end this shortly. But it was great having him on. And we going to let people know to tune in tomorrow night. We got my man Doug Young returning. It's going to be a crazy show.
Yes. Good old Doug. Doug about to dig in again, because this is going to be, man, for those of y'all who have not seen, who did not hear the first interview we did with Doug Young a couple years ago, buckle up. First off, you may want to listen to that and buckle up, because Doug, shout out to Uncle Doug, man. Doug is hilarious. So all that stuff he gave us in the first interview, we're just going to build on it for tomorrow. Because Doug is going to. I can't wait for that one, King.
Yes, indeed. And letting y'all know, And we also got a special Sunday episode coming through with my man CD Sane. He gonna be pulling up. So we gonna definitely have this thing monumented and going. We got a lot of shows lined up, and we're gonna keep knocking them down like dominoes.
Jill, man.
So we want to send once again a shout out to Sonny Chiba for chopping it up with us.
Definitely, man. Definitely. Always a pleasure, man. We're glad to have him on. Always great to have another legend. We want to give the flowers while they're still here. You know, and yeah, man. So I can't wait till tomorrow, man. So I guess we about to be out.
Yes, indeed. Tune in tomorrow night.
Yeah. Same OTT time, same OTT channel. Yeah.